Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Nation, or Blog Talk Radio Nation, yeah. See, it's Friday, and you have been off for a week. This is what happens when you're off for a week and you don't do consecutive shows, but you are tuned into the Cutting Room Floor. I am LeVar, and as always, I am joined by my lovely co-host, Mary, who, quite frankly, I know this week was robbed because AskMen.com came out with their most desirable woman, Sofia Vergara. Got it. The only reason that she won was because Mary did not send in her picture on time. So maybe next year.
Procrastination is, you know, you could fill in the words. It's a butcher.
I know. It's very bad. But we've got a lot to cover today. Hopefully we'll get it all in within 30 minutes here while we're here live. And I want to let everybody know off the top of the list here before I forget. Our wonderful show, which normally comes to you every Friday at 1 o'clock Central Time, will be on at a different time next week. I'm kind of, I had to toggle some things up for a special reason. Next week,
I know.
Because next week is the start of what I call my birthday week of shows here on Blog Talk Radio, starting on Sunday with the Ponferta Review, which will be on a special time at 4:30 p.m. Central before the Super Bowl, so that you guys will have time to enjoy it and indulge in your food hangover by the time you're done. And then next Thursday night, as I call it, in prime time or late night, a special edition of the Cutting Room Floor will be on. Mary will be with me at 10 o'clock Central Standard Time. And then next Friday, the love lawyer, Corey Fettman, returns. It's been a while. It's been a few months, but she will be returning on a special edition of the 411 Lounge next Friday afternoon / evening at 5:30 Central Standard Time. So, if you remember that, Cutting Room Floor, Upon Further Review, this Sunday, special time, 4:30 p.m. Central, Cutting Room Floor, next Thursday. So, tune in next Friday. I won't be here at 1 o'clock. You really won't be here at 1 o'clock either. It's next Thursday night at 10 o'clock Central, and then the love lawyer joins me on Friday, 5:30 p.m. So I think I've got most of that off the way. Oh, and the return of Ion Hollywood this Monday. I will have more details as to the time, but it will return this Monday, and, of course, it will have all of the features that we had before. But with that, speaking of the Super Bowl, you got any big plans for Sunday?
Heck no. I'm going to be sitting around right in front of my TV.
Well,
big screen, high def.
You, ma'am, are not a part of the majority. According to a recent survey of moms by babycenter.com, 80% of moms would rather have sex than watch the Super Bowl.
Yes.
No. Somebody obviously has a clue to dads into this news. If 4 out of 5 moms would rather pull over their husbands than watch the biggest of the bowls, there might just be a Super Bowl baby boom in time for Halloween. And, woo-hoo, you know, I saw this study. Now, I'm trying to think here. They would rather have sex than watch the Super Bowl, but why not have the best of both worlds? Now, the game doesn't start until 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. You know, and you figure, first quarter, second quarter, you know, it's really not that exciting. You really tune in at the end to see what's going on. So I'd say, hey, during the second quarter, you get a little whoopee in, and then you get the best of both worlds, right?
Sure. Hey, I'm down. And, you know, it's out here, it's a little earlier, so you have to wait until after the show. But, yeah, why not? But, it gets them out of, you know, barbecuing and all that other stuff. I think it's because moms don't want to have to entertain, really. They'd rather be entertained than entertaining. Although, sometimes you have to entertain as well. So, yay, sign me up. I'll go into that 80%. I don't know if I'd rather, but I'd be willing to join. Sign the petition.
I was a little surprised at how high that actually was. I was like 80%. Now, I would have thought maybe 50, 60%, but 80% of moms said that they, I mean, which, you know, once again, that kind of goes back to my question of a few weeks ago. You know, when guys always said, hey, why do you always want to ask us, you know, questions before we go to bed or during the big game?
Because that's, you know, what we want. Hello, there's your answer. That's what we want.
But I mean, I have no, now, first of all, I want to make it clear, and I want to state my case that I have no problem with what 80% of the moms want. But I just got to figure, why during the Super Bowl? Now, you know, all year long, this is the last football game of the year. This is the one that we, you know, watched and, like, suffered through all the playoff games for. And then it comes to this, and we're looking forward to, you know, sitting back, kicking back, drinking, eating some nachos and eating some wings and, you know, not having a bib, and our shirt is our bib. And that's the day that you pick that you want to have sex.
No, that's the day that we would rather have sex than watch the game.
Why can't you do it like first game? Why can't you do it like first or second game of the season? Nobody cares.
Well, if you make it
man.
A habit, then you don't have to be worried about it. Make it a habit every Sunday, that time.
You know, the
Sunday,
pre-
never fails. Hey, I'm an October baby, so I was a Super Bowl.
But if you're doing a game, at least come around during preseason. I mean, we don't care about the game then. You know, you wait until the Super Bowl. That would be embarrassing if you wanted that at the time when all of his buddies were there. That would be kind of...
Well, that all depends on you and your buddies. Because if you really love your wife and that's what she whispered in your ear, I don't think your buddies would matter that much anymore. You'd be like, yeah, guys, sorry, no more beer. Get out.
Oh, 80% of moms want that. So if your mom, now, you know, a lot of women know who wrote back about that said that they'd much rather watch the game, which was also surprising. But, yeah, so I don't know who the study in this was. I'm not sure if it was like, you know, young moms or if this was like, you know, middle-of-the-road moms with, like, you know, older kids. I don't know. That would be interesting to see what type of moms actually were the ones that said that. So.
Yeah, definitely. And it really depends on your relationship again. If you have a good relationship with your husband, then I think that you guys can work it out to be like, you know, throw the signal and your husband will be like, bye, guys, see you later. Look, oh, the beers are out. Oh, we have no more nachos. Bye.
Yeah.
I know we still have a half to play. Go somewhere else.
There's a table full of food over there. No,
no, no,
that's
no. That's for tomorrow. Those are leftovers. That's lunch.
Yes, that's lunch for the week.
That's an after-dinner snack.
Yes, the before-dinner snack is my wife.
Yum. All right.
Yes. But speaking of Super Bowl...
Sorry, I'm so
glad. I know. Speaking of Super Bowl, there was a story, and I think this lady, you know, I usually give out the Shaking My Head Award of the Week from time to time, and it's going to make a return this week. But there's a story here. It comes from Chicago Now blog, but it involves a guy. Man buys Super Bowl tickets for him and his girlfriend. Man plans to propose at Christmas before said Super Bowl. Man finds out he's got bladder cancer, and upon hearing the news, the man's girlfriend apparently dumped him on the spot. Now, if that sounds too awful to be true, this gets even worse. And according to a recent Deadspin story, Jason Elia, who was a TV writer from Nashville, went through all of this trouble of getting tickets for him and his girlfriend, and life hit him out of nowhere with that backhand. Now, you'd think that the one person that would stick by his side would be the one you love. But no. best part of the story is that she still wanted the tickets because she claims that they were purchased with her in mind. Now, at least Joyce is looking on the bright side and using the attention to gather Twitter followers by auctioning off his pair of tickets to the person that nets him the most Twitter followers by the end of the Pro Bowl, which was last week. Now, we don't have an update as to who actually got that. He announced the winner this past week. But how do you like that? If something like that happened to the person that you were dating, would you even have the nerve to ask for those Super Bowl tickets?
Well, a couple of things. One, if somebody that I was dating and I was really in love with, if something like that happened to him, I would stand by him. I would stand by him. I wouldn't be like, yeah, peace out, see you later. I didn't really want to deal with cancer. But then two, no, if we did break up for whatever reason, no. But I'm one of those people that also are like, you know, I will not give you a gift if I don't want you to have it. If he bought the Super Bowl tickets, I'm sorry. Dude, give me the Super Bowl tickets. I'll take them. It's just not even, that's just unfathomable. It's so bad that she is what gives women bad names. Sorry. So boo to her. Shake my head.
You talk about people with no soul. I was like, when I read that story, I was just, I could not believe it. And I said, you know, it was like something out of like a Seinfeld episode. I mean, it was kind of like, oh, so sorry you're sick, but now that's the end of our relationship. But by the way, can I have the tickets? This is what?
Yeah, exactly.
What? You know?
Nope, nasty little people like her get their comeuppance. So I'm sure she's loving this attention. No, bad. Bad juju.
I'm sure she is, but you know, I hope he put her on blast on Twitter and we said her name so we'll all know who this is, so that line of guys will know.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. Then she'll have to become a cougar, and then, you know, what's bad about that?
Mm. Do tell.
Well, there is new research. You like how I kind of went about that?
There's new research
that suggests that cougars have shorter lifespans. So for all you ladies out there that thought that you know, being a cougar was fun and all that Sex in the City stuff and and you know, look at me, new research suggests that marrying a younger man may be a cause for increased mortality rates among women. So after finding that health records prove that men who married younger women increased their lifespan on average, scientists set out to find that the same results were true for women. Seems they're not. A woman who is between 7 and 9 years older than her husband has a 20% greater mortality rate than if she were with a man the same age. Now, this is what this can be attributed to. Researchers aren't sure, but there definitely is much speculation. Some theorize that women in relationships with younger men may die younger because they are much more stressed out by their beaus. And, you know, such things as holding on to that young guy or worrying about, you know, aging and being scrutinized by onlookers and, you know, people judging you can get a little stressful. And sadly, it says, you know, let's face it, society as a whole does not give men who date younger women the same grief. So once again, just when you thought that you could probably win in this one, comes news that you cannot.
Yeah, poor women. But that's all right. That's okay.
Now you've answered my question. I was going to say, upon hearing this, does this still want to make you kind of be a cougar if you had the opportunity?
Oh, God, no. I have, come on, I got standards. You got to be at least able to drink. I don't need to be babysitting. Now, you know what? I would rather actually, honestly, when it comes down to it, I would rather date somebody that's more mature. So if I could find a younger guy that was mature, then hell yeah. Unfortunately, for the male species, maturity does not often happen to those that are younger, and it is much harder to find, so therefore I stay away from looking. Is that a good answer?
That's a very good answer. If this was Family Feud, I would clap and say, good answer, good answer.
Good answer, good answer. Number one, ding!
You know, I kind of skipped over something, but I want to go back to it while we're on the topic of football and everything else that's kind of going on right now, I was a little disturbed at an article that came out on a website called the FW, and it was the 10 most cringeworthy team songs in sports history. And they had a lot of songs on there that I pretty much never heard. I'll be admit to that. I never heard them. And they were songs by teams such as the Los Angeles Rams, the Dodgers, Team USA Soccer, the New York Knicks, and, also I think there was one in there from the Philadelphia Eagles. They were all pretty bad. They were all from like the 80s, early 90s, when music just was not music. But number one on the list was something that disturbed me and I disagreed with wholeheartedly. According to this article, the most cringeworthy team song in sports history was the Super Bowl Shuffle. And according to their list, they said that no list of the worst sports songs in history would be complete without the granddaddy of novelty sports epics. And, they said that history hasn't been as kind to the Rapping All-Stars one and only hit record, and they said that we can thank it for the legions of other sports teams who took a stab at one-hit wonder. Now, but here's the thing. I'm a Bears fan. I'm going to admit this before everybody says, but you're a Bears fan. But the thing was that this was a song that was Grammy nominated, and I don't think should be blamed for the onset of other horrible songs that was put out there. That's like saying, that's like saying Weird Al Yankovic is responsible for horrible parody song people, even when he had hit parody song records. Even though he's the grandfather of them all, in a way, but there's other people beforehand, but it's like saying that. But I totally disagreed with where they put it. Because I'm thinking if you're going to call it the coolest cringeworthy, and we'll put the article on our website, which you can follow on Facebook at News and Comment Network Blog Talk Radio, and our Twitter at News Comment BTR. We'll put it on there. But if you're going to put cringeworthy, watch the Los Angeles Rams video. If there's anything more cringeworthy in your life, and if there's anything more than feeling like you lost 5 minutes of your life, watch that video.
That was a great video. No, I'm just kidding. That was so bad. It's a great, you know what? You need to put the link up because, and if anybody's listening, you have to watch them only because I don't care if it's a waste of your time. It really is. It's killing time. So if you have some time to kill, kill it. But it's funny. And then agree with me. That Go New York, Go New York, Go, whatever the heck it was for the Knicks one, is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Just saying.
I would definitely say that those videos kind of gave a look back to the 80s. And it gave a look back to people who thought they were cool, and the outfits that they wore, especially in that Dodgers video. Baseball players wearing baseball pants in like bright pink and bright, green, lime green jackets. Not
metallic.
Cool.
They were metallic.
And seeing Oral Hershiser, who was a boyhood favorite of mine, in one of those jackets, not fun at all.
Baseball being very, very good to me. It was great.
It was brutal. Yeah, and
it was wonderful. It's a train wreck. If you can't tear your eyes away, it's a train wreck, and you can't do anything about it.
You cannot. And we're going to post a link, and it comes with all the videos on it, which is like, you don't have to go searching for them, but you will spend, I swear to you, you'll probably spend about a half hour looking through them, and you will just be shaking your head in disbelief at the videos, and you will actually think afterwards, and I think you'll agree with us, the Super Bowl Shuffle wasn't that bad.
Wasn't that bad, but it was that popular.
Yeah.
And I am a Bears fan as well, so.
Yeah.
You can bet.
I'll leave it up to you. I'll leave it to you all to judge. But moving on from sports, most of the time, I know that you all look to Mary and I to be your advice columnist on, you know, love and everything else that's going on. And I always feel that this show is a great service. And if there's anything that we can do to help people out, I feel a lot better on. And there are two different such stories this week. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. Pretty much next Thursday's show is going to be a little bit busy. We won't really have time to help you out before then, but think of this as our public service to you ahead of time. If you're looking for a way to, spend some quality time with your loved one, nothing quite says Valentine's Day like an evening at White Castle. For the sixth year in a row, the fast food chain will be transforming itself for the holiday by offering a sit-down dining experience. Decked out with red tablecloths, plastic flowers, and charming decorations, this will certainly be an evening to remember, especially with free dessert included, in Notes Time magazine. Diners will also get a free downloadable and shareable photo of the dining experience. Best of all, for those excited to impress their dates with a trip to the burger chain but worried about the crowds, White Castle is offering reservations for the special evening. This according to its Facebook page. And if you really love White Castle, why not consider tying the knot at the famed American Burger Joint? In 2009, a couple married on Valentine's Day at the chain's largest restaurant in Louisville, Kentucky. Other White Castle weddings have also taken place in Michigan and Ohio. Heaven forbid that I just mentioned those two states back to back. But I'm going to ask Mary here.
Are
you selling the idea of going to White Castle for Valentine's Day?
Well, you know, okay. On the surface level, I would be like, really? White Castle? That's all you could come up with? On the underneath, I would still be smiling from ear to ear because it would be that story to tell someone somewhere that, yeah, for Valentine's Day this one year, and it could be a bad story, it could be a good story. It really depends on how you do it. But it's going to be that story that you're going to tell somebody for Valentine's Day 2012, I got taken to White Castle. And I have proof. And so there's that underneath that, you know, I laugh about it. It's really, you could do so much better, guys, you know. But if you're going to do it, I mean, go all out. Don't skimp on it. Go completely. We have reservations. Dress up. Do the whole nine yards and make it an event, and it would probably be funny as all get out. And it'd be just the perfect thing. You know, you bring her some roses. There you go.
And also, as a public service, we're also going to tell you that if you go out and you buy flowers for your loved one for this Valentine's Day, you do know that flowers could signify a life of close friendship, or they could be a multi-meaning ode to how you fell in love at first sight. But before you get stressed on what type of rose to get, there is actually a meaning to different flowers. Now, normally, you know, guys go for the old standby with red or, you know, kind of pink as well. But I'm going to tell you that if, say, for example, you were to give Mary red roses for Valentine's Day, of course, standard, but with good reason. Greek and Roman mythology tied the red roses to their goddesses of love, and the flowers moved through many cultures as a symbol for love and fidelity, because the brazen hue stood stronger than its thorns. And it says, if you want to add an extra layer to the perennial favorite, gift them in symbolic numbers, such as 2 for mutual love or 24 to symbolize that they are always on your mind, which to me is kind of corny, but...
You're talking about women. We are corny.
I don't know. Before I go any farther, now I'm going to ask you, now this is kind of like one of those things, because there are girls out there who don't like roses. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a rose person?
Not really. I would rather have lilies or, you know, or a combination. I like multitude of flowers. I like different shapes and sizes. So if you just get me roses, I will appreciate them and understand them and love them for what they are. But if you give me a bouquet of roses with lilies in there and carnations and mums and you know, violet bells or whatever they're called, I would appreciate that even more.
Yeah, so now this is why guys are confused, because you just said that you liked them, but you didn't like them, but you liked this more, but now that you looked at that, you're so confused.
For Valentine's Day, get me a rose, I will be yours. There you go.
There you
Watch,
go.
Like 600 roses show up at my door.
I know. Pink roses are no more for poetic romance and grace. White roses are mostly a bridal favorite due to their coronations of unity, virtue, and pureness of a new bond of love. However, the flowers are also traditional funerals because of their association with honor and reverence. So in other words, save those for your serious relationships. Yellow symbolizes jealousy, so that probably not a great choice. Orange, it makes a bold statement. It symbolizes fiery passion and desire, and it means you're proud of him, and yeah, it's not that good. Lavender
See,
or purple,
I,
the rarity
don't get me a rose, don't get me red. Get me a sterling rose, or like a purpley rose.
Well, lavender or purple, the rarity of these roses gives them a mystical, enchanting vibe, which is why they become associated with love at first sight. Give it to the person you've locked eyes with across the bar or the Taylor Swift, it says. And black roses, it says, you already know you either hate this person or you're into that sort of thing. So I went through that quickly because now I'm looking at the clock and we only got 3 minutes, which means for the second week in a row, I have to drop a story, which and then I have to go to the story that I normally never tell Mary about.
Which story did we drop?
We actually dropped the five outfits guys secretly hoped women would wear once again. Made the cutting room floor. Unfortunately, we'll do that next week. But with 2.5 minutes, I want to go to this story because I always like to keep a story aside that Mary does not know. But for those of you in New York, you've already ordered pizza and a DVD on Netflix. Now you can have late-night entertainment of condoms and lube delivered right to your door. It's a new take on one of New York's most cherished classics, a bike delivery service. Only this time it's vibrators rather than them some coming to your doorstep. Babeland, one of the city's sex shop staples, is heading the campaign. They said that we've had people call and say we desperately need it here within the hour. And it's the gift that keeps on giving. The service allows New Yorkers to pursue hundreds of sexy products on their website, then call in their orders and have a bike messenger leave a discreet-looking box by the buzzer. The Brooklyn Paper calls the service the paramount excuse to stay in bed all day long. Delivery costs $30, but it's free on Valentine's Day. So, of course, Babeland is the only South sexy shop to offer up wacky services to its customers. Shaq, another sexy shop in Brooklyn, offers a personalized experience with custom dildos. Yes, that's right, friends. On this show, I said dildos. So they can have an exact replica of their manhood made into a vibrator, a feat which one reporter for the Brooklyn Paper took on and described in first person. The article is on the Huffington Post if you want to see it. But how about that for Valentine's Day? So just when the show looked like it was going in a nice direction, yes.
That's awesome. Sign me up. Why isn't Vegas doing that?
You would think, but we've got 60 seconds of the clock on the wall. Stop telling us where I apply. Don't you know what I like to end these shows with stories like that?
I know, man.
Don't forget. Yeah, I know. And we were going to talk about strip clubs, too. This show is just turning into, like, oh, God. Don't forget. We're on next Thursday night, 10 o'clock p.m. Central. Love Lawyer joins us on Friday. I wonder if I bring this story up to her about the legalities of it all, which will actually I don't know. Anything quickly here? We've got about 10 seconds.
No.
And on that note, for Mary, I am LeVar. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We'll see you next Thursday night.
Much love.